I think this is one where we don't really have a cold open, so we'd be like playing the Brivilla song up front.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the pilot episode of Kosher Queers, a podcast with at least two Jews, and generally more than three opinions. Each week, we bring you queer takes on Torah. They're Jazz.
And she's Lulav.
And today, I'm a dirty liar because we're actually going to talk about Isaiah 60 from Nevi'im instead of Torah.
Which is great. So, Isaiah 60 is the Haftarah from Nevi'im, which is prophets in English. We didn't want to do a Torah portion because, like, hopefully we'll get to that at, like, the end of the year, and we just have to do it again. So we're, so we're just going to be doing the Haftarah instead this week, which is kind of cool because completely by accident, it's, like, very queer, and I'm very into it.
Interesting. Yeah, we're being very optimistic and saying that we're definitely going to have 52 episodes.
Listen, like, maybe we will.
Right. Yeah, I hope. So this is a Parsha cast, of course. So we have a quick summary of the portion that we're reading, right?
Yeah. Lulav, do you want to summarize the Haftorah portion for us?
I would love to. Can you give me 30 seconds on the clock?
Yeah, 1 second. Ready, set.
Stretching. Okay. Go. So this is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, and it's basically saying, stuff is bad now, stuff's gonna get better, and specifically it's going to involve a lot of your bullies just like bowing down to you and giving you gifts. Boom.
Nice.
How many seconds was that, Jazz?
You have 11 seconds left. That was so fast.
Oh, okay. Before we were recording, I told them I only need 20 seconds.
It was spot on, apparently. Yeah. So, nice job.
Thank you. So we generally go from there to having, like, a longer discussion about the portion and, like, what it means and how we feel about it. Feelings are very important on this show.
Yeah. So I did prepare some discussion questions, but first, you want to start off with, like, impressions of the reading? What were your, like, first thoughts?
So there's a lot of imagery that I don't like. And a lot of imagery that I do. And often they're tangled up in each other and overlapping.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff now that's, like, in the context of the state of Israel. And just how world politics are going around our people. It's a little in poor taste. But there is also stuff about, like, redemption, which I really like. Just, like, the idea that things are gonna get better even though they're bad now.
Yeah.
What about you, Jess?
So there's a lot I like in this, and then there's also things where I go, like, and then there are things that I, like, had to read a couple times to understand what they were saying.
That's fair.
And definitely things that I, like, still don't fully get, or, like, don't get what's supposed to be. Like, if I'm reading it, there are things where I can tell that it's supposed to be appealing that are not appealing to me. But then there are things where I'm like, I don't quite understand why it's supposed to be appealing.
What? You don't like silver and gold and camels?
Well, the thing is, like, I get the instead of copper, I will bring gold. And instead of iron, I'll bring silver. But what is, like, the advantage of iron over stones? It's fine.
Okay.
So my questions are organized by, like, how they show up in the Parsha. So
yeah, and so is the summary that I, like, prepared for this.
Great.
I have a very, like, Fisking way of thinking about things, unfortunately. So do you mind if I just start us off?
Go for it.
So the thing is, we start in darkness. Like, things are really bad, like I said. And we'll probably get more into this in the future. I did not look this up ahead of time, but at this time, there had been some foreign conquering of one of the, like, kingdoms of Jews. And so a lot of the book of Isaiah is prophecies lamenting that current situation and being like, hey, we're gonna come back from this. We are Am Yisrael. So yeah, this starts off saying, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But it promises that the name brings us into a period of light.
Yeah.
Did you have anything in this, like, starting bit, Jess?
I did, yes. There is a note. So I read two translations of this, and because I like translations, and that is the particular kind of nerd I am. And
yes.
But so one of them, the Reformed translation that I was reading, has a note that says the first two words are, they translate as arise, shine, and then they have in parenthetical, O Jerusalem. And the reason they have that is they said the Hebrew uses the feminine gender for the one who is addressed, and they're saying that means that they must be addressing Jerusalem because Jerusalem is talked of as like a she. But we don't, it doesn't actually say Jerusalem, it just addresses the beginning of this as if it's talking in the feminine to a woman. So who or what else could the text be addressing?
I see. That's a question. I wish I knew more about biblical Hebrew.
Well, so I...
But, yeah.
Okay. The reason I asked this question is because I think that, like, there's a long tradition in scholarship that, like, when the text leaves gaps in it, that, like, those gaps are meaningful and that you can read something into those gaps. So, like, I definitely think, like, you can read things into, like, it's addressing someone in the feminine, but it didn't say who it was. So I kind of get to read who I want in there in some respects, right? Like,
oh, that's fun.
Like, maybe it's addressing Jerusalem. I don't know. Maybe it's talking specifically to you, Lulav. You know what I mean? Like...
It's me.
You know?
Yeah, cool. I like that. If you take it away from the way in which it was written, it could be like someone comforting their female friend or partner, like, arise, shine, for your light has come.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for talking about, like, paradigms of scholarship, I guess? I don't know. I have words.
Great.
Okay, so specifically the light that we get is wrapped up in the nations of the world. You know, the Goyim, bringing to Israel gifts of camels and gold and incense and sacrifices and just a whole bunch of treasures. So, yeah, it's very treasure-focused, at least in these first couple lines after the darkness. And by couple, I mean, oh my god, it's like 8 lines. And this is, like, fairly straightforward, you'll be brought things. So, unlike the later stuff where you were kind of wondering about, like, why iron instead of stone? Yeah, this is just like, of course, you get gifts from mean people.
Well, yes. I mean, there's definitely a, like, you will get gifts from people, but, like... Also, one of this things is translated as the sea's abundance shall shower you. And that's kind of cool. Like, you will have abundance. And then, like, then they list a bunch of different ways that abundance shows up and who gives it to you. But, you know.
Yeah, what line is that?
It's in 60-5.
The wealth on the seas will be brought. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So we should talk for a second about the fact that we're reading translated works.
Right. So I have the Hebrew here. And also, I have two different translations. You have, like, another one or two translations. We are not using the same translations.
At all.
We should be clear about that.
Like, I do have Arise, Shine in this New International Version translation for that first line.
I have that for in both of my translations. It's probably pretty standard.
So yeah, what are the two ones that you're reading?
So I'm reading one from Chabad.org because I was like, we gotta go real, like, classical, like, nobody can accuse me of reading, like, liberal hippie texts only. And then the other one is from the Reform translation, Torah translation that I got from my bat mitzvah.
Amazing. So in terms of rites of passage, for me, a second source that I will often be using, though not right now, because I am lazy and didn't want to open it in front of me, is the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which was, I mean, it's from a Christian perspective, but it's in conversation with Jewish scholars. So, I don't know. I went to 2 Lutheran schools. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. it is so exciting to me that we have so many translations at the table. It's great.
Yeah. It's good. So, right. We're told in the prophecy that foreigners will rebuild our walls, that the children of your oppressors will come bowing before you. It's phrased a lot as redemption. So.
Okay. So, let's pause here.
Right.
This is a line where there is, like, a couple different ways that I have readings of it.
Yeah.
But so, my question here is, in the Reformed translation, it says, and they shall come bowing before you, the children of those who oppressed you. They shall bow down at the soles of your feet, all those who despised you. And, like, that's a lot if you think of this as just about Judaism, and especially if you think about it in the context of, like, Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But if you separated it a little bit from that, it's also this notion that's implied in there that the descendants of oppressors bear some responsibility to make amends for the actions of their ancestors.
Yeah.
Which has other implications in, like, our modern times and our modern societies in regards to things like reparations for chattel slavery and, like, to the indigenous First Nations for colonialism. So, like, yeah. Okay, real big question, what would it look like to take this idea of, like, the children of oppressors bow down before those they've wronged?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what this is, what we can draw from this is, as Jews, if we oppress people, we need to make active effort to make up for that. Or even if, like, our parents or grandparents or whatever.
Yeah, and I also, like, given how much of this is, like, and they will come bowing before you, but also, like, bring gifts, like, that there is a material aspect to that, right? It's not just, like, they'll, like, grudgingly say, like, yeah, I guess our ancestors did some things. But, like, you know, you have to carry that out, right? Like, there's some material stuff happening there of, like, demonstrating that wrong. And it's interesting because, like, there is in this text, like, the children of those who oppressed you, and there is no sense that, like, the people reading this text could ever be oppressors in any ways.
It's just not mentioned.
It's just not possible, which I get. Like, this is a these are a people who are in exile. That's what the idea of it is. Like, this is one of the portions that's supposed to be read in between Tisha B'Av, commemorating the, like, destruction of the temple, and between Rosh Hashanah. So, like, it's, like, pretty deliberately supposed to be, like, you know, kind of an intense time.
Wait, what was the destruction of the first temple? Who destroyed that?
Oh, man, somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong, but I think it's the Babylonians.
Oh, okay. Because, like, the Assyrians were the ones who did the conquest at that time. So, never mind. That's kind of unrelated. Okay. Yeah, I think part of this is, like, the idea that there are people hearing this text who are currently in occupation by oppressors,
right.
Like, identifiable oppressors.
Yeah.
And so this is, like, a comforting prophecy to be told, the children of your oppressors will come bowing before you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll recognize that the city that they conquered is the city of the Lord, you know?
Yeah. Okay, we get to move on.
Yes, please. Okay. So there's a lot of restatement of, like, yeah, cool stuff is gonna happen that I didn't care to summarize.
Yeah. Can I pause us, because I really, really just want to draw our attention to one bit around verse 16.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if you caught this, because they have two different translations, and the Reformed translation is a coward. and the Reformed translation says, "You shall suck the milk of nations, suck the breast of kingdoms, and you shall know that I, the Eternal, am your Savior, your Redeemer, and the Mighty One of Jacob." But the word there isn't kingdoms. It's melachim, which is the plural of kings,
yeah,
which is to say, and you shall suck the breasts of kings.
Okay.
So in this, like, glorious future, are kings trans?
Hashtag king. Okay, so In the New International Version, it says, "You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts."
Yeah.
Which like, is, there's less, like, potential for sexual interpretations there.
Fair enough. I just want to
For English readers?
I just want to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
That,
I love it.
That the Chabad translation says, "And you shall suck the milk of nations, and the breast of kings you shall suck."
Good.
Yeah. So, that's great.
So yeah, blah, 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 peace, blah, blah, blah. And then there's language that sounds a lot like the covenants. Like, all your people will be righteous and they will possess the land forever. And the least of you will become a thousand, the smallest of mighty nation. Which has, like, direct Abrahamic echoes from your descendants will number the stars.
Yeah. Okay.
So and yeah, that's about it.
Great. So I have a final question for us.
Yes,
please. Which is, there's this bit, like, verse 21, like, right at the end, that goes, "Your people shall be righteous, all of them, and possess the land forever." And so, like, if they're all owning the land forever together, does that mean it's held collectively? And if so, is this a vision of abolishing private land ownership?
Please. Regardless of if it is, I'm going to take a little page from the like communist teacher's book in Fiddler on the Roof and say, yes, it is in fact about the fact that we need to overthrow the private landowners and make all hell collectively.
A few months back, I tweeted something that was like, the new gender binary is whether you read Jewish meaning in leftist texts or leftist meaning in Jewish texts. And I am, as you can see, very much leftist meaning in Jewish texts. So...
Okay. See, I would have assumed that you were reading fluid.
Oh my god. I think we are done with that. So my next segment is our rating. This is a segment called Rating God's Writing. Every week, we get to choose what our scale is going to be in addition to how good we think it is.
How would you feel about I choose a scale for you and you choose a scale for me?
Great. I feel great about it.
Okay. Jazz, out of 7 breasts of kings, what would you rate Isaiah 60?
A solid 5.
5 out of 7 breasts of kings.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Do me.
So, Lulav, out of 12 groups of people bringing treasure, how would you rate this parsha?
I would say 8 groups of people bringing treasure, but it's like the 8 best groups of treasure. Like, the other 4 that are kind of nasty treasures, those are, like, in the rear, and we don't get to those today.
Great.
Amazing. That was Rating God's Writing. Baruch Hashem.
Okay, so normally we would have a segment here for, like, listener questions about the Parsha or about other, like, Jewish and queer things you wanted to ask us about, I guess. Please write to us. We are at kosherqueers@gmail.com. But for now, because it's our pilot, we're going to do a quick FAQ section. So we have, like, asked for some questions, but we also have some prepared. So
most of these are questions that we frequently ask ourselves.
Yeah, you know. Question number 1. Do either of us actually keep kosher? Lulav, do you keep kosher?
No, I don't eat pork, but that's because it gives me a migraine, and also because pigs are really intelligent, so I feel weird about that. What about you, Jazz? Do you keep kosher?
So my mother calls what I do California kosher.
California pizza kosher. Okay.
Which is to say that, like, I don't eat treif animals. Like, I don't eat pork, and I don't eat shellfish, and I don't eat the specific animals that you're not supposed to eat, but, like...
Lizards that crawl upon the ground or whatever?
Yeah, whatever. But, like, that's about it at the moment. So, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, gotta get on my best, like, cis person voice for this. Question 2. How do you identify?
Oh, man. no, that's not actually one of them. I identify... I
just got that. Okay, good.
Great. Yes? Okay. So I identify as like very, very queer. And I think I've got like a whole mess of labels up on that one these days, right? Like I'm bisexual and I'm non-binary and I'm like in the sense of also falling under the trans umbrella. I'm trans. And no, I think actually that's all of those ones. But then separately, right, like also I'm Jewish and I've got like stuff going along with that, right? Like I am Jewish and Ashkenazi and white and like those assorted things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you?
Just a quick question. Is the white part important to you or is it just like I'm recognizing that?
No, I mean, like, I just feel like it's a valid, like you can't see me, you can just hear me, and like I feel like it's worth acknowledging.
Yeah,
I but like, you know, whatever, I'm not getting, we're not doing the are white Jews white, like it's fine.
Oh god, no. For me, how do I identify? I am a lesbian. That's like a real big one that I often mention.
Uh-huh.
And like part of that is I am a trans woman, but like lesbianism and womanhood are kind of wrapped up together for me. Mm-hmm. I love women and people who like associate themselves in some way with women, and I also associate myself with women. That's, yeah. Oh, I'm a non-binary trans woman. I always forget that, but yeah, she pronouns generally, especially if I don't know you.
Yeah.
And right, I'm Jewish. I'm like crypto Irish, I guess, because my mom's family is like German Catholics, except for apparently, according to one of them, like DNA tests, we're like 97% Irish.
Okay, sure.
And my dad's family is Jewish, like okay, all the way back, which I like a lot. I feel a lot of kinship with that Jewish identity, hence why I am doing a podcast about being Jewish and queer.
Yeah, no, Judaism is like real important to me. One side of my family, the Twersky side of my family, is like goes all the way back like on a Hasidic line, and like also, okay, I just remembered this because we're doing like this line about queerness, which is my mother once called us a multi-alphabet family, which is really good because I am like two of the letters in the LGBT, you know, like in the I'm B and T, and my parents are lesbians, so like they're the L. It's very good.
That's really cute.
It's really cute.
Yeah, anything else? I also am white, as was just mentioned. Yes.
So our third question, we just wanted to like put this one out there in case like it came up later. It was like, why do you have a reclaimed slur in your podcast title? As I mentioned earlier, the word queer is like real important to me because otherwise I have to give people a list of stuff and I don't want to. And also I like it as a big overarching term, and I like my communities to be like big and overarching and welcoming spaces.
Yeah. I have less personal attachment to the word queer, though I also really appreciate it as like an overarching term. Yeah, I prefer specificity when I'm talking about like myself. So like I would be like, yeah, I'm queer, but that's not something that I would come up with. So yeah, we had a very long, like months long discussion about what we should actually call our podcast.
I'm really happy with our title.
So am I.
Yeah, great. Okay, question four.
Yes. What happens when you get two Jews in a room?
You have at least three opinions.
Yeah, this is a setup to an old tidbit, a Jewish joke by Jews for Jews.
Yeah. The whole thing of which is just like two Jews, three opinions. Like we have more opinions than we know what to do with.
Exactly.
Question five is, who is this podcast for?
Amazing. So it's for everyone, but we as queer Jews are making it for queer Jews.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I would kind of put it the other way around, is that, like, we're queer Jews and we're kind of talking to queer Jews, but also, like, if it resonates for you, if you're like, I resonate with the queer bits, but, like, not the Jewish bits, or I resonate with the Jewish bits, but, like, not the queer bits, listen, and if you're like, both of these are new and strange to me, but they're, like, real cool, you're also welcome, so.
That's so valid. Yeah, like, the thing is, we're not excluding people because they aren't either queer or Jewish, or just don't know that they're one of the two.
Yeah.
It's like, this is made for if you know it.
Also.
And sometimes to awaken something in you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, great.
Eyebrow, eyebrow.
Yeah.
So, Jazz, will we talk about things other than the weekly Parsha on this podcast?
You mean like we're doing right now? Like when we have this podcast about the Haftarah?
That is one thing.
Like we'll be structured around the weekly Parsha. Like that is the format that we're going with. But like we will also hopefully do some like news of the week of things that are happening in like the queer and Jewish world and mention some current events. But like also we might eventually have original fiction. We might eventually have some guests. So like there might be other things happening. Stay tuned. Subscribe.
Jazz. Jazz, I was promised that every week we would have a Midrash and Devar
written
originally. What happened to that?
That was a beautiful dream that we had for about 5 minutes, and then I remembered that I have a full-time job.
Yeah, so if we do release original fiction, which I really hope we do, that'll be either in the regular feed or in the Patreon feed.
Yeah, like extras and stuff like that might go to like our Patreon backers. You should back us on Patreon.
Yeah. Give us money. So I heard one thing in there, which is that we might have guests. Can I, a random listener, come on the podcast?
Like, maybe? Email us? We'll probably be, at least for a little bit, just talking to each other, but we would love to have guests eventually. Probably we will mostly have guests who are both queer and Jewish, and if you know us, like, definitely reach out, and but also if you don't, and you are both of those things, and, like, want to chat about it, yeah, maybe. Write to us.
And if you do write to us, please tell us your favorite Parsha, if you know that ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would be nice to slot a guest in on their favorite.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask the next one?
Yeah. Love, if I am a listener who just found this, how do I support this podcast and the wonderful work you're doing and, like, also find more of it?
Well, you can support this podcast by going to patreon.com/kosherqueers, no underscore or anything, and just give us money. You'll be charged for every time that we release an episode, is I think how Jazz set it up. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can see all of the tiers there. And as we develop this show and actually have episodes being released, we'll have more information, more content, more synergy, all those business words.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about business words, but we will have more info on there. But in the meantime, I just do want to say that, like, there isn't, like, too small of an amount. I specifically set it up so you could do, like, $1 per episode and, like, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Or you could do, like, 100, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and most of that will go to, like, the goal of having somebody else do transcriptions for the show, that sort of stuff. But also, a percentage of the Patreon winnings will go to Brivola, the wonderful band that did our intro and outro music. Anyway, you can find more about this podcast at twitter.com/kosherqueers. We have very consistent branding.
God. We're also on Facebook at Kosher Queers.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, did you have more on this topic?
Nope.
Okay. Because I have the question of all questions. How do you pronounce the file extension for the graphic interchange format?
It's obviously GIF. I don't, like,
Oh, excuse me, it's obviously GIF.
No!
It's just more mellifluous.
It would be spelled differently. It's
no, it wouldn't. Because, like, giraffe is G-I consonant.
It's not a peanut butter. Like,
no, I eat the peanut butter, too. That's my favorite brand, which may or may not influence how I pronounce this file extension. Anyway, I'm really glad that we didn't talk about this question ahead of time. This was not rehearsed at all.
Listen, and I didn't even give you grief over the fact that you pronounce it Patreon. So, like, we're moving right on.
I don't even want to defend myself on that. Okay, so an example of one of the questions that people can send in is this one from my lovely partner, Elia. They say, how do we treat those who come back to us on bended knees after harming us? What does modern thought say, and what does it say in Torah? And what do you think you would or should do? Jazz, if somebody wronged you but came back on bended knee, what would you do?
This is a really cool question, and I like it a lot. It touches on a thing that I've actually been thinking about a lot in my life, is like how we reckon with notions of like harming other people and like making amends for and like repairing that harm.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really big question that I hope like we'll come back to at different points. But I think that part of it is that, especially as we're looking for ways to think about like how the world thinks about punishment and moving away from some of those systems, what it would mean to set up other systems of like community accountability processes that like support the individuals who have been harmed without removing the humanity of the people who have harmed others as well. And so I think that part of this has to be about, you know, that kind of community process. So part of the question was like, what does Torah say about it? And there's this beautiful quote that I am now forgetting the specific verse. I'll see if I can drop it in the show notes when we get it. But it talks about this idea that it is our responsibility to stop other people from harming others. And different rabbis were talking, and they were like, well, there's nobody in this generation who knows how to rebuke, like, anybody properly. Like,
kids these days with their call-out posts.
Basically, they were like, nobody knows how to do it properly. And then a different rabbi was like, well, nobody knows how to accept rebuke.
Huh.
And so then you're sort of caught in this
dialectic?
Right. But then also there's this idea, but like, okay, but you are still supposed to do it. But then there is another thing that the rabbis said, which is like, okay, but if you don't know how to do it, like, and you, if you know that it won't be listened to, then you're not supposed to do it. But you're caught between you're supposed to do it, but not if you know they won't listen to it. But also nobody knows how to, and also nobody knows how to listen.
Right.
So the answer is, what?
As with many Jewish questions, there is no answer, and also there are a lot of answers.
Yeah, but it's a really, really good question, but I think that part of the answer has to be, like, it is incumbent upon all of us to therefore learn how to be better at giving criticism in a way that people will listen to and, like, accepting feedback when it's given to us.
Yeah.
And that can be part of, it's not obviously the whole thing because harm is, like, a really big idea, but, like, that can be part of the paradigm of harm. And that also some of the stuff we talked about earlier about, like, you have partial responsibility for, like, your ancestors.
It's not incumbent on you to fix all the ills of the world, but neither may you desist from the work. And Avot might say.
Yeah. That one's from Perkei Avot for our listeners, which is roughly like sayings of our ancestors. So
anyone who wasn't on Jumblr in 2015, 2016 could definitely use that context.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of instances where, like, friends of mine have hurt people in the past, and there's figuring out how to be friends with a person who's done bad things in the past and make sure that they don't replicate those harmful dynamics in the present, and also respect any contact I might have with the people that they hurt. So that's like a whole thing that is a constant struggle. And this extends to the systemic as well as the interpersonal. But yeah, I guess a lot of my like Jewish concept of morality as a Jew is like, don't do bad things. But if you do, recognize that and do better things in the future.
Yeah. And also like we're coming up on Yom Kippur. We're not right now, but like we will be by the time this episode airs.
High holidays.
So, but like Yom Kippur is like a really good thing to be thinking about in that framework because, you know, there is this concept that like you're making amends for stuff in the past year. And there's this idea that like you can make amends for stuff against God, you know, if you like want to go into the God realm, you know, like directly, but like that Yom Kippur can't like make amends for the things you've done badly against people. Like you have to go make amends with them directly, which is great.
That's so important.
Yeah. That was just a really good question.
Thank you, Elia.
Yeah.
I love you. Can you hit us with question 10?
Yes. our last question is, if I am a listener, what do I do if I have more questions?
Well, you can email those to us at kosherqueers@gmail.com. What about Twitter? Are our DMs open?
They should be, yeah.
Okay. Our DMs are open, or they will be by the time this pilot airs.
Yeah. You can DM us. We're also at kosherqueers on Twitter.
And if you just want to yell, just like in the grand marketplace of ideas, you can just add us, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do that acceptable. Too. That's fun. Okay, that's the end of our questions. We had another great idea from Elia, right?
Yes, they said, don't forget to say Shehecheyanu.
It's our first podcast.
It's our first podcast.
We
I'm
did
so
it.
Hype. High five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Hi, friends. Lulav here. You may know me from such podcasts as Kosher Queers. Turns out, I don't know how to sing, and also we have, like, a slight delay because we were doing this over the internet. So, I figured I would spare your ears. Back to the show.
Hit us with the outro, buddy.
Yes! Okay, thank you for listening to Kosher Queers! You can follow us on Twitter at Kosher Queers, or like us on Facebook at Kosher Queers, or email us your questions, comments, and concerns at kosherqueers@gmail.com. Our artwork is by the talented Lior Gross. Our music is courtesy of the fabulous band Brivalet, whose work you can find on Bandcamp. Go buy their album. They're great. Our sound production is done by my lovely co-host, Lulav Arnau.
I'm lovely.
I'm Jazz Twersky, and you can find me at WordNerdKnitter on Twitter. I recorded this audio on the traditional lands of the Lenape people.
I'm Lulav Arnau, and you can find me at SpaceStretch6 on Twitter, or yell at me publicly at PalmLiker. I recorded this audio on the traditional lands of the Wapikute and Anishinaabeg. Have a nice Shabbat. We don't have a sign-off.
Oh, yeah, like, if you have ideas for a better sign-off for us, we don't have one yet, please tell us. And in the meantime, have a lovely queer Jewish day.